Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They've got over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Plus, their fee is free unless they win. If you want more information, head over to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople, forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
And welcome to the Lombardi Line here on VSiN. I'm your host, Dave Ross, here at Circus Sports in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. He is our GM, Michael Lombardi, back on the East Coast. Good morning to you, Michael. What a way to reintroduce the Lombardi Line, my friend, with some of the wildest endings I think we've seen in a long time.
Wow, what a weekend of football. I mean, it was from the Baltimore-Cleveland game, which ended on the last play. You almost thought Lamar was going to pull that one off, to the nightcap, I mean, to the Washington game. Mm-hmm. I mean, who would have thought that? That was really unbelievable. You know what's really striking about that play, Dave, was to me, Chicago had three timeouts. Don't you think they should have used one of them just to get organized? You know, and they got some stupid player, Stevenson, over there messing with the fans. I mean, he wouldn't have been on the team plane coming home if I was the GM. But, I mean, the reality of it is it was just a great weekend to watch games. It was fun. Even the nightcap last night, I apologize. I know your Cowboys lost, but it was at least an entertaining game.
At least they made it interesting at the end. We will get to that. But let's start right where you did, Michael, because you're right. You look at, you know, Tyreek Stevenson, it's going viral. You're seeing him. He's jawing with the fans. Something I've never seen before in a Hail Mary situation. You've seen this all throughout your time. We've seen it before on sidelines. Guys are, you know, getting into it with the fans. Not during the play, not during the final play with his back to the actual play as the receivers are coming down. All kudos to Jaden Daniels for buying time and, you know, having the ability to set his feet and make a great throw down there for Noah Brown to be the recipient of it. But what is your takeaway from that? Because you know this and how coaches drill where you're supposed to be, and let's be at the goal line, let's make sure, you know, if the ball is short, we got to tackle. Like, what's the right, what's the wrong from what came out of that game-deciding play?
Well, what's right about it is you don't need defensive players on the field. You know, Cole Kmet, I don't know if he was on the field, but he should have been on the field. You need big, tall guys that know how to handle the ball. Remember Gronk? I mean, the Miami game, New England messed this up years ago. Gronk kind of had a, you know, got thrown over his head. But the one thing is you can't be, no one can be behind you. No one could be behind you because you want to make sure that ball goes down. It doesn't go up like we're playing beach volleyball. So I think to me it would have been really a good idea to call timeout. I mean, when you look at – if you go back and look at the sideline of the Bears, I mean, Caleb Williams is out there coaching. You got him talking to players, you know. And to me, I think situational football yesterday was really obvious. Teams that do it, teams that handle it, teams that don't do it very well. And the Bears, look, it was an unfortunate thing that happened. They were fortunate to get back in the game with a great fourth quarter that they were able to do something. Daniels looked like he wasn't 100%, but to me, this play is about no one can get behind the defense. You need your big guys out there. It doesn't matter if you're offense or defense. You're not making a tackle. You're playing volleyball. Get the ball on the ground. Don't worry about an interception and make the play. I mean, when you looked at Bayard, he was shocked that nobody was behind him. I don't think that was his man. And so I think there was a level. When, to me, if you're looking on the field and you see one of your players talking to the fans, call timeout. Just call – you had three of them. Call timeout. Get yourself what we call a Kodak. Take a picture of what they're going to do. You know, see how you're going to handle this. I mean, they rushed four on the play because – but they wanted to be able to. He needed to move around so that he had time to set his feet to throw it all the way up the field. I think that's something that, you take a look at. He had so much time, and that time allowed the receivers to get down the field. But – what a great win for Washington. I mean, they're 6-2. They're leading in the East now. And Chicago had a chance to steal a game, and they didn't.
It is. It's rather amazing, too. And the toll that it took on bettors out there yesterday with the line moves of the week, right? It opens up Chicago 1. It goes all the way up to 2.5. Then we get the news that Daniels is going to play, and it goes flips all the way to the Commanders 1.5. Look, I still, if you're a Bears backer yesterday and you had them laying 2.5, you're like, this is a miracle. We come down, you take the lead, you go for two, you get it, you're up three, And there's 24 seconds, Michael, when they kick it off. And remember, there's an incompletion. They get 5 seconds that gets burned on the kickoff return. So they have second and 10 with 12 seconds to go from their own 24-yard line. What do you think the odds are at that point of the Commanders somehow winning in regulation?
I don't know what they could be, but you know they completed that out right in front of them, and to me that's what that was the play that hurt them the most, mm-hmm. right? Because that gave them a chance for as strong as arm as Daniels has, that gave him a chance to throw the ball towards the end zone, right? He didn't reach the end zone. It was fortunate the ball got tipped backwards. I mean, if anybody got caught in at the five, the game's over. But it wasn't. It got tipped backwards. So that out route that you allowed, I think to me was the biggest part of the problem. It seemed like the Bears weren't prepared for that situation on the field. Look, there's nothing wrong with calling timeout. We do it in basketball all the time. Call timeout, make sure everybody's aware of the situation, and you really should have a special unit on the field at that time with you got guys that have great size, that can box out, that know how to rebound. I mean, that's essentially what we're doing. We're playing, you know, it's a jump ball in the paint, and we're trying to make a play. And so, look, it's one of those things that, you know, the Bears fought hard to get back in that game. Really, Swift's run was sensational. They got the ball. How about the fumble? They try to hand the ball off. Can you imagine? They have this play and they try to hand the ball off to an offensive lineman. I mean, what are we doing here? You know, and I know all the Bear bettors are like, oh my gosh, we lost that game. Well, I mean, sometimes you shoot yourself in the foot with stupidity. I think that handoff to the fullback who's an offensive lineman, I know you want to recreate the William Perry refrigerator touchdown, but geez, oh man.
First thing I thought of was like, are we going back to the Bears 85? Like, what are we doing with the Perry, refrigerator Perry trying to score with Lyman? By the way, Jaden Daniels now, Michael, after this game, he is catapulted, as you can imagine, in the rookie of the year. He's now 4-1 as the screen actually flashes right before my eyes. And Caleb is now plus 350. Those are the only two guys now in single digits. You know, Michael, it will get lost a little bit, but Caleb was dynamic in that fourth quarter. He was terrible for three, but he was really good in that fourth quarter. Yeah. What's your takeaway on the 1 and 2 picks now in the NFL draft? It looks like both these teams potentially got this thing right.
I think going into the game, it proved out to be correct. I think Daniels' ability to throw the ball in the third level is rare. Mm. He's got unbelievable accuracy down the field. He's got great touch. Caleb struggles throwing the football down the field, right? He does. But I think where Caleb was so good, I mean, you know, he only had 10 completions in the game. Think about that, David. Mm. 10 completions in the game. Well, we'll get to Anthony Richardson, who averages 10 completions in a game all the time. But to me, what I think he was able to do is he got out of some real trouble. He was able to be an escape artist. And the throw he makes to Keenan Allen when he should have been sacked twice on that play was sensational. It was a 22-yard gain that I didn't think Keenan Allen could make. You know, he was wide, you know, he wasn't covered because it was a loose play. So I think Caleb, he's eventually going to improve his down the field. But look, I give Caleb a ton of credit. I said at the beginning of the year, I'll say it again, this Bears offensive line isn't very good. You know, and he was under heavy pressure. He only got sacked twice, but he was under heavy pressure all day.
Yeah.
You know, and they had some injuries in the Bears offensive line. But to me, at the end of the day, the Bears, when they go against the good teams, when they take that step up in class, when they have to play the Detroits or even the Green Bays or Minnesotas, I think this offensive line is going to be to prove their downfall.
18-15, as you see it, to Michael's point, 10 of 24 here for Caleb Williams in that loss. 131 yards. Again, a very good fourth quarter, but the rest of it did not look great. And you see Daniels, even with the bad ribs, 326, no picks, had the Hail Mary touchdown, of course, and even ran it for 52 yards. You mentioned Anthony Richardson and the Colts. That's the kind of the tale of two Hail Marys, Michael. 23-20, Colts come up short, and he doesn't even get to make the throw as he gets sacked on the game's final play, admitted during the game that he had come out because he was tired, which is a first for me in all the years of listening to quarterbacks and covering some of these things. What'd you make of that? And kind of like, if that is in fact, maybe just keep that to yourself.
Well, he said it out loud. He admitted it. I mean, give the kid credit for being honest, but here to me is this. I don't know about anybody else, but the bettors, and I'm sure Marquee Network, I'm sure we have a lot of Colt fans here. I don't know how you bet the Colts because they're the most aggravating team to me in the National Football League because Richardson drives me crazy. He hasn't gotten better one bit. He's the guy that, you know, he's like the great golf. He's the amateur golfer who has one really good hole and he thinks he's going to end up shooting 68 one day in his life and it never happens, right? But he keeps going back. back to the course because he has that one great hole. I mean, he's got 10 out of 32 completions. Oh. I mean, what are we talking about here? You know, and he's sacked five times. So I got Anthony Richardson giving me Ajita on one side. And then when I'm watching him on defense, I mean, Gus Bradley's giving me Ajita on the other side. Like, I'm like, there's no pleasure in watching the Colts for me ever, ever at all. I mean, it was a 5-point spread, but you end up cashing. But there's no pleasure when you watch them. I mean, they're just, to me, they could be a really good team if they had a better defensive coordinator. There's no question about that. I'll go on record as saying that. I wrote that after week two of the season. And they'd be a much better team if Joe Flacco played quarterback. I mean, this team could maybe win the South if they just got some better quarterbacking. But you go 10 for 32. Look, let the kid stand next to Steichen. Like, he's got a 5-year contract. He's not going anywhere, but he's not ready to play. What we noticed yesterday, which was so obvious, is these NFL teams are so predetermined to make a guy a good player even when the evidence isn't there. What happened to Cleveland Browns? They couldn't get a first down to save their life on third down. They were the worst third down team in football. In comes Jameis Winston. All of a sudden, they're become an explosive offense. They don't even have Amari Cooper, right? They're missing guys. And the offensive line isn't nearly as bad as it's been. And they beat Baltimore. It's the same thing. If Flacco plays yesterday, they're going to beat Houston. At some point, don't you say, look, isn't winning? I mean, we're not a developmental league. 10 for that. What bothers me about Richardson, he hasn't gotten better at all, and even though he's playing.
It's stunning to watch. I'm right there with you. And I was on the Colts yesterday, so luckily got that cash, but, you know, also had sprinkled a little bit on the money line.
You're always going to say that when you bet the Colts, David.
Yeah.
You're going to say, luckily I got it, because it's 3 hours of sweat. It's 3 hours of sweat watching Colt games.
It absolutely is. And by the way, they're 4-4. Texans are now 6-2, but the Texans have beaten the Colts twice, so it feels like a 3-game lead already in the South. And I'm with you. Like, I get it. You know, Flacco, you're trying to develop the kid, but are you trying to win? You're 4-4. You're right there. You're in the midst of a playoff run, but I don't know if you're going to get there with Anthony Richardson. Michael, it's a great way to start the Lombardi line. We have a lot of games to break down. Of course, going to have Rich Gannon, Carl Johnson on the program as well today. Don't go anywhere. It's the Lombardi line here on VSiN.
This is the Lombardi line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue the Monday edition of the Lombardi line. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi. And again, we're going to have Rich Gannon joining us here in the next segment. Michael, can't wait to catch up with Rich. Raiders coming up a little bit short yesterday out here in the desert against the Chiefs, the last undefeated team, of course, in the NFL. But there were certain teams, I think, at the beginning of the year that we get, Michael, you know how this works. We just pencil them in, right? Jets are going to the playoffs. They're probably going to win the East. They're about 2-1 to win the East all summer long. And they lose to the Patriots yesterday. Only 2 wins so far in the year, which, by the way, is the same number of wins as the Dolphins and the Patriots in the AFC East. We're not saying that division is over, but it feels like it's over. What do you make of the calamity that is the Jets, Jets?
They're just not very good. I mean, let's be honest. For all this talk about their defense being the 2000 Ravens, I mean, when has that happened, right? I mean, you know, they're not very good defensively. They can't stop the run game. I mean, yesterday they played against a team that they gave up 100 and some yards in week one, in week two of the season, right? Week three of the season, they gave up 139 total yards. And yesterday, you know, the Patriots had 136 yards passing, 111 yards rushing. I mean, they haven't created a turnover in 3 weeks. This is one of their problems they had last year, too. And I think what Gottschall said, the defensive tackle for the Patriots, he said after the game, I mean, Aaron's not the same player. I wrote about this week. I mean, when you look at his numbers, he can't get the ball down the field. This offensive line is a disaster. They can't really protect. They can't get the run game going. I mean, it's a poorly crafted team. It's a good thing Woody Johnson, their owner, says thinking's overrated, because obviously he hasn't been thinking much about this team. Now we get him again on television Thursday night against Houston at home. How many more times do we have to watch this god-awful team on national TV? It's a calamity. It really is. It's so bad. And look, they make the coaching change, and they've lost 3 in a row. And they're talking about hiring Jeff Albrecht as the head coach again. Eesh. I mean, the guy's overwhelmed to be the coordinator and the head coach. I mean, Woody obviously didn't think this through, but to me, look, they beat Tennessee and they beat New England. And easily, David, they could have lost to that Tennessee game. That Tennessee game, if it wasn't for Will Levis, they would have lost that one.
Yeah, by the way, we get to watch him again Thursday night in prime time against the Texans. And somehow that's a pick 'em here at Circa. I'm seeing Texans minus one. So we'll get to that later on in the week. But, yeah, it's like, boy, we got to keep watching the Jets in prime time. This is not fun to watch, certainly if you're in New York. And, look, I don't know where they go from here because, to your point, what are you going to do? You got to develop the quarterback position again, or you run this back one more year. This is it would be the third year. If this is already a lost year, Michael, next year would be year three for Aaron Rodgers technically in New York. Do you start to think about turning the page?
But you're not going to run it back with this staff. You're basically cleaning out the building, right? Mm. So Joe Douglas is good. He didn't get his contract extended. So basically you're going to have a whole new regime come in. Right. And so do you think Aaron Rodgers, when he gets back from one of his retreats, is going to say, look, I really like this. You know, Nathaniel Hackett's not going to survive this. So he's going to lose his best friend coach. So really, I mean, where are you going? I mean, I don't think they've hit rock bottom yet if you're a Jet fan. I don't think you've hit rock bottom because you went all in. Tell me how many times going all in has really worked out with a guy coming back off Achilles. You know, look, you could say, well, Kirk Cousins is working out. But look, I think when you look at Atlanta, and particularly yesterday, when they play against a better team, they haven't really played a lot of good teams yet. I think, to me, they're going to run into a buzzsaw sooner rather than later. They can't stop anybody. They couldn't stop Tampa yesterday. So I think, to me, that's a little bit of an overrated team at this point. But the Jets, clearly, I mean, I don't know where you go. You're going to clear the building out. You want to start a rebuild with a new coach with a 42-year-old quarterback? I don't think that's really practical.
To make the playoffs now for the Jets, plus 450. Remember, this was a team that was 2-1 to win the East all summer long, and now they're plus 450 to make the postseason. That win total's now dropped to 6.5. I thought about jumping in at 7.5, Michael, before the Steeler game. Boy, I'm so glad I didn't. And I'm like, yeah. What am I missing? Right? We keep waiting for them to turn the page.
You know, one of the tales of yesterday, I think, that came out really clearly is softness, right? Mm. You watch the Cincinnati Bengals play against the Eagles, and the Bengals are one of the softest teams in the league. I mean, Charmin should represent them. I mean, they are really soft. I mean, they can't knock anybody off the ball, and they can't run the football. Of course, it doesn't bother Zach at all. He'll just keep calling passes. He loses Orlando Brown, doesn't want to help the new left tackle. The quarterback's under pressure all the time. I don't know what the hell he called on the fourth down play when he went for it. His defense is atrocious, right? His defense is atrocious. I mean, I love Lou Amoromo, but, I mean, they don't have enough players over there, and they're not tough at all. They have no toughness with them whatsoever. Joe Burrow is talking about, well, we can get to 10. No, you can't get to 10 with that softness of your team. Look, you would have lost to Cleveland last week if they'd have played Jameis Winston. Mm. I mean, that's a fact. Like, you barely could move the ball. You can't move the ball on Cleveland. So, like, that to me, the other team that's softer than Charmin is Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, look, look, everybody loves Mike McDaniel. Quirky, dresses, you know, he's got his pants pulled up on the sideline, great press conference. He can't win a game. He can't win a game. I mean, he can't win a game. He can't make a play. This is his third. Nobody's mentioned this. This is his third defensive coordinator in 3 years. They can't stop Arizona when they have to count it. And Chad Ryland, who couldn't make a kick for the Patriots last year, has become all of a sudden a new version of Justin Tucker. Like, it's unbelievable. The kid's made 3 clutch field goals. Good for the kid, right? Good for the kid. They cut him in New England, and now he's doing well. So, to me, like, these teams that are soft, that just are very player-friendly, that are just, oh, it's all good. Yeah. We're going to go to Dairy Queen, no problem. they can't win tough games.
I'm looking at this now, Michael. The Bengals are still plus $1.10 to make the playoffs. Again, playoffs. 3-5 here. I know, you know, Zach said we're not even to the halfway point of the season. We're not, technically, because it's now a 17-game season. But out of some of these teams that we're looking at, whether it's Miami, I don't think you and I are in on the Jets at plus 450. Are we still backing the Bengals to somehow turn this thing around? Because it's going to get late before you know it here, and you can still get that plus money. Look at the win total at 8.5. So we're just booking them for 9-8. I mean, that's best case scenario, I think, at 3-5. You're starting to get into these division games. You couldn't beat the beat the Ravens in a game you had won and figured out a way to lose that. Like, how does this team make the playoffs?
I don't know, but they have Las Vegas coming to town now.
You
know, God only knows what Antonio Pierce will do with his goal line selection of plays. I mean, that to me is another thing. Well, every week Antonio Pierce just dazzles you with his game management and his decision making. It's unbelievable, right? It's just truly unbelievable that, you know, that he is one of 32 gentlemen that call themselves head coaches in the National Football League. And, you know, I know they covered the line was, but that was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Then they go Baltimore and Chargers before they have the bye week. I mean, they have, you know, look, they got Pittsburgh. They have to play Pittsburgh twice. They have Cleveland again. They have Dallas, which obviously, you know, they don't have a lot of hard games. They got Baltimore and the Chargers on the road before they go on the bye. That's going to be two hard games. Look, the Chargers are not a pretty team to watch play, but they're tough to beat because they're physically tough. They'll run the ball all over on Cincinnati. Are you kidding me?
Mm. Well, you mentioned it, Michael. Let's hear from Joe Cool, the new Joe Cool, and Joe Burrow about how this team is not exactly dead in the water just yet.
I think 10 wins usually gets you in. So we got to win 7 out of 9. That's doable. So we'll go from there.
Okay, Michael,
I hate that. That drives me crazy, Dave. I hate that. Like, you got the Raiders next week. You can't beat anybody the way you played against Philadelphia. You really can't. You got luckier in hell. You gained 223 yards against the Cleveland Browns. And if it wasn't for Deshaun Watson, you would have never won that game. I mean, you beat the New York Giants barely 17-7. It took Chad Brown's run to cover that spread. I mean, when have you played good? You had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter twice against Baltimore and lost that game. I mean, you've beaten Carolina, who is god-awful. You beat the Giants, who aren't any good, and we're lucky to beat them. And you beat Cleveland with the worst quarterback since Jamarcus Russell. Mm. So, like, really, I mean, you think you're just going to get to 10 automatically? Like, I respect the hell out of Joe Burrow. I really do. And I think he's great. I think he's tough. I think that team's poorly coached. I really do. There's no toughness at all to that team. And the longer they keep going, the less tough they'll become. But there's no chance. You're looking ahead to something that's never going to get there. You better worry about beating Las Vegas. You better worry about beating Las Vegas. That's the only thing that should be on your mind. Not, oh, we can get to 10. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can't beat Las Vegas the way you're playing.
It reminds me of the Kevin Bacon gif in Animal House. All is well. All is well. It's like everybody remain calm in Cincinnati. Okay. I want to see it, Michael. By the way, very quickly, before we go to break, we do have something very interesting and new here at VSiN that we want to make you aware of. We got the VSiN watch, Michael. This is pretty darn cool. So, you know, I'm kind of an old guy.
It's great.
I can't figure all this stuff out. But all the new technology, it's going to make it very easy to watch or listen to VSiN anywhere, anytime. In limited time, you can watch it for free. So visit the Apple app or Google Play Store right now. Download the VSiN Watch app, and you're going to get 24/7 access to our live audio and video stream. Watch replays of your favorite VSiN shows like The Lombardi Line. Easily stream video on your smart TV. Browse clips by sport. You can search your feature to find the specific VSiN expert insights you're interested in. So again, the VSiN Watch app is free to download from both Apple and Android users. So do it right now. Michael, when we come back, Rich Gannon's going to be here. We're going to talk all things Raiders and beyond in the NFL. That is next here on The Lombardi Line.
This is The Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue the Lombardi Line here on a Monday morning. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi. And Michael, on a Monday, it's always great to have Rich Gannon to join the program here to get his expertise as a former quarterback in this league at the highest of levels, playing in Super Bowls. And you name it, Rich has been there, done that. And Michael, I know we wanted to start off with kind of the conversation we were just having about Joey B, speaking of quarterbacks, and how it's not necessarily so easy to just win 10 games, right?
No question. You know, Rich, I mean, you've got great experience in this area, too. I mean, I was taken back by Burrow. I watched his team play, I thought they were soft as hell. Like, I don't see how they're just going to automatically win 10.
You know, Michael, it really reminds me of my 1993 season in Washington. I got traded right before the start of the season from Minnesota. And Richie Pettibone was taking over for Joe Gibbs, and the team wasn't very good. I saw it on the practice field. I saw it during games. And they kept saying in the locker room, the guys were like, that's okay. We're the Redskins. We'll get on a roll. It'll be just fine. And I kept on saying to myself, I just don't see it. It was a team that was long in the tooth. We just weren't very good on the perimeter. We were a slow football team. And they kept saying that. We finished 4-12. They fired the head coach, and they got rid of all three quarterbacks. I'm like, you know what? That's what happens. The Bengals aren't very good. They're 3-5 right now. They need a reality check. T. Higgins didn't play yesterday. They really missed Joe Mixon. I mean, the physicalness that he brought to that offense, not only in the running game, the passing game, short yardage and goal line, they don't have that guy. And then Luan Aramo's defense has grossly underperformed this season. So the Eagles had their way with them yesterday, and that should be a real eye-opener, I think, in that locker room in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And again, Rich, when I look at what happened here in the desert yesterday, and I want to get your thoughts on that as well with the Raiders going down 27-20 to the Chiefs. Obviously, they had their opportunities, and Michael and I were talking about it, with Antonio Pierce, you know, first year as the actual instead of the interim, now as the head coach. There's opportunities to take advantage of things that they did not get it done in goal line. What's the disconnect there? Why are they struggling so much and settling for field goals in situations where they need touchdowns, certainly to upset the apple cart and beat the defending world champions?
You know, I hate to say this, but they're a little bit like Cincinnati. They think they're better than they are. I mean, they keep on telling themselves they're going to be okay. We'll beat the Chiefs. Look, you know, they had chances yesterday. The Chiefs, let's be honest, the Chiefs aren't the Chiefs that we're normally used to, right? They have their own issues on offense. And, you know, they're getting by with what they have, which says a lot about that football team and the coaching. You know, Andy Reid is a really good head coach and also an excellent play caller, and they've got one of the best defensive coordinators in the game and a pretty stout defense. So, look, I give the Raiders credit. They always play the Chiefs hard. You know, Gardner Minshew is who he is. They can't run the football. And they're not as good as they thought they were going to be defensively. So they had opportunities. They're not very good in short yardage and goal line situations. That's been a problem all season for the Raiders. When you get down, when you get a turnover like that, and you go four downs and you come away with no points, to me that was a huge turning point in that game.
Unbelievable, Rich. I mean, what did you think of his decision to go for it? I mean, like every time I turn around, Pierce just like he dazzles me with his in-game management. I shake my head all the time. Like I get, you know, like to me, when you have three chances down there and you can't get it, you might want to just take the points because, I mean, what's going to make the fourth one the charm?
No, that's the thing. Look, I don't think that offensive line, particularly the right side, I don't think Colt Miller's playing as well as he has in the past. You know, their best player right now is the tight end, Brock Bowers, their rookie tight end. You know, I just think that Jacoby Myers helped a little bit yesterday. There's no question about that. You know, Madison's not a bad running back. I mean, he'll give you some tough, hard carries, but it seems like every time they hand him the ball, he's getting hit at or around the line of scrimmage. So the offensive line's not been very good. I don't know who's coaching that group. And, you know, I think offensively the scheme, when you look at the scheme and what they're trying to do with the personnel that they have, it just seems like it's a real stretch each week.
Rich, a lot of times, you know, magic gets thrown around a lot. Oh, this team's they're magical this year. Can we say that about the Commanders 6-2 now in the manner in which they win that game yesterday with the Jaden Daniels Hail Mary? Is something happening in the district that's obviously a little bit different from what we've seen in yesteryear?
Yeah, I think when you have a game like that, especially when you didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday, you were questionable. There was a kind of a really up until game time in terms of whether or not he would play. I thought he played well, all things considering. I think he threw the ball better than I thought he would. I thought his movement was better than I thought. I give Cliff Kingsbury a lot of credit for really building a system of football around what he does well, what he likes to do, what he's got a history of doing. And they've been very creative, you know, and I just think that the defense yesterday was a surprise to me. That Washington's starting to come around a little bit defensively. They played better than I thought. On the other side of it, Caleb Williams went back to playing like he did the first 2 weeks of the season. He just struggled until the fourth quarter. So, you know, but to lose the game, and you guys, you know the play I'm referring to, the last play of the game, what happened on the other side of that ball was real travesty in terms of a young player not really being in the moment. And I always say, when you put your own self-interest ahead of those of your team, then you put yourself and your team at risk. And that's what Stevenson did in that situation.
You mentioned the Chiefs have their own problems. I watched the Buffalo-Seattle game closely. I think Buffalo's the best team in the East. I think they may be the best team in the AFC. The way they play, their physicality has so improved. What are your thoughts on Buffalo as it relates to Kansas City?
Mike, I agree about the physicality part. Yesterday, they really got after Seattle on both sides of the ball. That was really apparent. Their defense, to me, is better than I anticipated. They're not the biggest group up front, you know that. And, you know, I thought Seattle would come in there and try and run the ball with Walker and Charbonnet, and they weren't able to do that yesterday. And you look at the Bills, they got a four-game lead in that division, and they've won four games by 21 or more points. So they're rolling people right now. Josh threw his first interception of the season. Of course, it was in the direction of Amari Cooper. I don't know that Amari Cooper is going to be the answer to all their problems. I think he can give you a handful of plays. He does two things well. He runs a slant route, which he didn't yesterday because he was indecisive, and he runs a go ball where he can use his big body. The rest of it, you're just not sure about. So if I was coaching Josh Allen, I'd advise him to be cautious when thrown in the direction of Amari Cooper because he'll fool you at times. But that's a conversation for another day. But I agree with you. I mean, Josh he's unique. There's not a lot of quarterbacks like him in the game. He's very physical. And I think they play to a certain style of football that Sean McDermott coaches and preaches, and I think that is a good thing for the Buffalo Bills.
Rich, you know all about winning MVPs in this league. If Kirk Cousins played the Buccaneers every week, I think he'd be the MVP of the league. This is ridiculous, the numbers. Four more touchdowns yesterday in another win over the Buccaneers. What are you seeing from Kirk? Because I think early on we thought, oh, no, aging quarterback coming off a devastating injury, this isn't going to work. It looks like it's starting to work, and maybe the Falcons now with two wins over the Bucs, they really got a leg up in that division.
You know, if you guys watched the tailgate show yesterday, I love this game for the over because you have two explosive offenses. You've got two really good quarterbacks. Even the Buccaneers without Evans and Godwin, I still thought they'd put up some points because why? Both defenses are bad, right? So Atlanta can't play defense, yeah. Neither can the Buccaneers, and so I thought both quarterbacks would play well. I wasn't surprised. The last time Kirk Cousins faced the Buccaneers, he threw for 500 yards. So, right. Look, you give this kid a clean pocket. He's a little bit like Jared Goff. If you give him a clean pocket, he can set his feet. He can be as good as anybody. He's really talented, ultra competitive. He's a student of the game. Football is important to him. And I think he realizes this is his legacy. This is an opportunity to take another team to the postseason, maybe try and win a championship. I don't think they're good enough to do that, guys, but the quarterback is playing well. You talk about MVP candidates. Don't count out Goff in Detroit for what he's doing. I mean, he's gone a month now where he's been flawless.
Unbelievable, Rich. I mean, look, that game was over in the first quarter. I mean, they just took care of business on that one. You know, the big news, Miami has Tua come back, and then, of course, they have the meltdown in the fourth quarter. You know, to me, Miami's another team along the line of Cincinnati. They're just not tough enough, physical enough when it needs to really matter. They had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter and couldn't close it down.
Yeah, Michael, you were all over this one. You talked about they weren't playing great football before Tua got hurt. You know, I thought he certainly provided a spark. I think he gave him reason for hope to get back in this race. You know, but look, the ball was on the ground too much yesterday. You know, the quarterback center exchange, there was two issues there. He got the ball knocked out of his hand one time. I just thought they were a little bit out of rhythm. I think the speed of the game certainly was a factor. And on the other side of it, you know, they had no answer for Trey McBride. I mean, every time I looked up, Trey McBride was wide open catching a pass. And you know, the other thing is you look at their defense didn't play as well as I thought they would. So, you know, Mike McDaniel's got a lot of work to do if this team's got any chance of getting back in the race in the AFC East.
Plus 350 right now for the Fish to make the playoffs here, and the win total now at 6.5. Very quickly as we wrap it up here, and Rich, always great having you on the Progressive Guest Line. When you look at Daniels, you look at Caleb. Can we just now say those teams got it right at 1-2 going forward for their futures?
I think so. You know, I think both have unique skill sets. I think both are ultra talented young players. I think you got to continue to build the program around those two quarterbacks, but you got to be pleased with what we've seen through the first half of the season.
Yeah, so far, and certainly hope in D.C. and maybe even in Chicago, despite that disappointing outcome. Rich, really enjoy the conversation. Thanks for joining us here on the Lombardi Line.
You guys are the best. Thanks.
Thanks, Rich.
Great stuff from Rich Gannon. We're going to have Carl Johnson join us in hour number two, Michael, but we have so much more football to break down from what we saw yesterday. And yes, I need you to give me a therapy session on the Cowboys. We'll discuss that next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
we continue the Lombardi Line here on VSiN. I am here at Circus Sports Fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Michael Lombardi back in the East Coast in New Jersey. I hope you stayed up late and watched Sunday Night Football, Michael. I know you did, because all of America is watching when the Cowboys are playing. They're a tough team to watch, Michael. They lose 30-24. They made an interesting couple fourth-quarter touchdowns, had the ball back with a chance to win this game. I need you to walk me off the ledge here in the Cowboys at 3-4. Is there any signs of redemption for this team with still a lot of the season still to play?
I think, to me, you know, and I wrote this last year after they lost to Green Bay in the playoff game. I said, look, I think this team overachieved. They didn't underachieve. Everybody was outraged by that column. They felt like, you know, I was trying to shill for Mike McCarthy. I wasn't. I just don't think they're as talented. And then now what happens is they lose Dan Quinn. Okay, we all lose coaches, but what Dan Quinn did to them is he took all the depth that they had. So yeah. A lot of those defensive linemen that were rotating through that helped them be kind of an overachieving team are now playing for Washington and playing very well. So that's a problem. And then their offensive line was a problem last year. Remember when they went on the road, they tried to block Philadelphia, got the ball first and goal with the five, but of course they couldn't block Hassan Riddick. It's Terrence Steele at left tackle, couldn't block a right tackle. Problem there, not really fixed. And the biggest issue that I see is they have no running game. They have no running back at all. They're void of a running back. And because they have no running game, they never can get control of the game. And they're asking Dak to do things that he's not really should be doing. Look, let's go back to Detroit. They played Tampa week two of the season. Jared Goff threw 55 times. They said, no, no more. Okay, that's it. We're done. He's a good player. He should be the MVP of the league based on 8 weeks. But right now, we need to cut it 25 throws. That's all he did from that point on. Same thing with Dak. I don't care how much you pay Dak. You don't want Dak throwing it 50 times, 45 times. It's too hard. The game becomes too hard. You've got to have some running games. And the teams that are really doing well, you know, whether it's Buffalo, where they have two running backs now, whether it's Detroit, two running backs now, but they can run the ball. Buffalo's a different team with James Cook running the ball. Mm-hmm. Ford's the same thing. They can run the ball, and they can control the pace of the game. Look, here's what we do know. The running game leads to field goals. That's all it does. So I'm not supporting establishing the run. I'm supporting the running game allows you to control the game. And the teams that are not good enough usually are the teams that can't stop the run, nor can they run the football, i.e. the Dallas Cowboys.
3-1 for the Cowboys to make the playoffs. You know I want to go to the window behind me here at Circa with Derek Stevens and have him take more of my money. But I'm not going to do it, Michael. I'm going to resist the urge to make that play. I got to ask you one thing, and I'll get off my soapbox on this. The only thing that bothered me about the loss last night, by the way, close 5.5. They lose by 6. And there was one key point that could have changed a lot of money across America yesterday. That was the touchdown in the third quarter by the Niners for the George Kittle, where you run the rub with Chris Conley, and he wipes out the defensive back.
Yeah.
There's like three flags that immediately come down on the play.
Right.
And then within 15 seconds, they pick up the flags. Terry McCauley goes on national TV. He says, oh, well, you know, maybe the defender led into the – and then Chris Collinsworth just openly laughed on national TV, Michael, and said, well, if that's the way they're going to call it, you're going to see a lot of guys starting to embellish. Like, what was that? How do you pick up all those flags?
I don't know how they do. And then at the end of the game, I mean, really, that was pass interference on the end of the game. If you don't call that, let's go back to Cincinnati when they played Kansas City and they called that one there. Like, there's no consistency if with the refereeing. I mean, look, Scott Novak was doing Cincy Philly. You know, you just – look, I'll say this forever. If you bet a Scott Novak game, you run the risk of really losing your money. You really do. Because you can't predict which way he's going to go. You can't – there's no – but the one thing you can predict, he's throwing a lot of flags. He's going to put that – that yellow thing's coming down there, and it's going to affect your wallet. Eventually, he's going to affect your wallet. Not on purpose. I'm not suggesting that.
Sure.
But he's such a bad official that he calls everything, and it makes the game unpleasant to watch. And the same thing last night. Like, I don't know how you throw three flags immediately and then pick them up with a conference. And then I don't know how you don't call pass interference on the fourth down play. I mean, that the guy hit him early. It was pretty obvious. But look, the Cowboys were – they couldn't stop him in the third quarter. I give credit here for really what Kyle Shanahan. He decided, look, okay, here's what they're doing to us. Here's what they've done in the bye week. Here's how they changed their tactics. Here's what we need to do in the third quarter. And Brock Purdy came through and played better than he had played in a while. You know, I still don't think, you know, Debo's not the same player he once was. We know that. He's coming out of the hospital. That's an issue. But I think Garendo really gave them a really some juice in the run game. And then Purdy's feet really gave them some juice. Look, the Cowboys are just not good enough on defense. Their tackle situation on defense is horrible.
Yeah, it's not good. And by the way, the Niners are now 4-4 with three teams now tied atop the NFC West at 4-4. The Rams only a half game out at 3-4. That division is going to be wild. By the way, Michael, of course, game three of the World Series is tonight in New York. And that means we've got all four major sports right now in action. They call it the sports equinox. And I'm not that smart. I had to kind of figure out what that is. That means that we got them all going on, everybody. And it is the best time of the year to be a sports bettor with our all-new Sports Equinox special. You can get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st, which includes daily best bets, betting splits with trends, analysis to make you a sharper bettor. We've got our exclusive betting content for the World Series right now, college football, the rest of the NFL season, March Madness, the NBA, NHL regular seasons, and yes, Michael, the NFL draft in April. I can't believe it's almost not that far away. All for less than $20 a month. So don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. So, Michael, we had that conversation, great conversation with Rich Gannon in the last segment. You mentioned that you really like the Lions now as potentially the most well-rounded team and maybe the best team in the NFL. It's a bizarre stat line when you look at Jared Goff yesterday. When you score 52 points in a 52-14 win over the Titans, Jared Goff didn't even throw for 100 yards. It is absolutely bizarre. He had, 85 yards on 12 of 15 and three touchdowns. I mean, Michael, they can beat. How do you want to lose? You want to lose with a run game? You want Goff to carve you up? And I guess the defense isn't that bad even without Aiden Hutchinson.
Well, and let's not underestimate how bad Tennessee is, right? I mean, look, Tennessee's just horrible, right? I mean, you know, when you throw for less than 100 yards and you win the game and you score 52 points, the other team's putting it on a platter for you, right? They gave up 6.8 yards per carry. And that's the beautiful thing about Detroit. Detroit won't get bored. They'll run the ball. Detroit won't get bored. They'll just keep trying to run it. But look, you know, to me, this Tennessee team is so bad on offense. And, you know, Mason Rudolph, he throws two picks in the game. I mean, Will Levis probably would have thrown four. I mean, this is a poorly designed team in Tennessee. They have, again, you know, they tried to go with this Cincinnati Bengal approach, which were going to be an 11 personnel all the time. They have no business being an 11. They're not good enough up front yet to be an 11. And they have no quarterback. When you're an 11 personnel all the time, the quarterback has to be one of your best. What you need to be an 11, everybody thinks you need three great receivers. You don't. You need a great running back and a great quarterback. It's because you got to get in the right play and you got to have somebody they respect in the box. The other things come in. It's exactly what's going on in Buffalo. Buffalo went from being an 11 team to being a 12 team because they knew they had to get more physical. They had to get tougher. They play in Western New York. Yep. It's going to snow. It's going to be bad weather. Could be this weekend when they play Miami. So they got themselves, and that offensive line came out yesterday in bad weather in Seattle and dominated. And Josh was able to do what he did, and they could run the football effectively. And so to me, that's the problem when you're in this 11 grouping like Tennessee wants to be in all the time. They're just not good enough. Of course, you know, they couldn't wait to give the Ridley. They had 15 targets because he complained. You know, at 15 targets, he's happy at 10 catches for 143 yards. He's happier than hell.
Yeah, they lose by what, 38, and the wide receiver's happy. So mission accomplished, right?
Right. I mean, you know, of course, they signed Tyler Boyd from Cincinnati, averages 4.7 a catch. Like, seriously, you're signing guy. Like, what does that do? It doesn't move the needle. These guys are possession receivers. You can find anybody who's going to get covered and catch the ball in traffic. That's not a hard thing to do. But because he knows the system, we're going to bring him in. I mean, to me, this tells you how good Detroit is. When they can basically beat you with one dimension, I mean, that's scary, right? I mean, that's really scary.
We're going to look back on the game last week. It feels like a year ago already in Minnesota, right? That really could be the key. And by the way, Minnesota in 4 days, because they played, they lose the last Sunday to the Lions and lose on Thursday Night Football to the Rams. They go from 5-0 to 5-2 in third place in that division. I mean, Michael, I know the AFC North is really competitive as well, but the NFC North, top to bottom with the Bears, this is the best division in football, right?
It is by far. I mean, look, Detroit, this was like a rest week. I mean, think about it. Their four drives, they went on a 70-play run that got them a touchdown. Then they went 12 plays for a touchdown, another 12-play drive for a touchdown, then a 22-yard drive for a touchdown. Now, you ask how – it's 28 yards. That's 28 points. And they didn't even – you know, the one drive – the three drives don't add up to the one touchdown run. It was comical. They had another 26-yard touchdown drive. So they really, you know, they just didn't have to move the ball. Tennessee was more than willing to give them the game, Dave.
As easy as it gets when you're scoring 52 points. Hour number two of the Lombardi Line straight ahead here on VSiN.